You're very welcome to the newest edition of Treaty Talk. I'm delighted to be joined once again by Matt Kellen of the Vale Star and the Weekly Observer. We have a full round of fixtures of football to get into after getting back into it last weekend, but we must start with the untimely death of Jim O'Brien of Rury on Wednesday night, a highly decorated player with Limerick, of course, winning in Ireland in 1973, being the pinnacle of his career.
Of Jim O'Brien. He has been so much part of the Limerick and Brewery and South Limerick GAA family for so long. Of course, as you rightly said, an All-Ireland winner in 1973, but a much decorated player insofar as that he won two Munster medals with Limerick at senior level in 1973 and 1974. And of course, the famous All-Ireland in 1973. And his performances, and to give you an idea of the sense of importance that Jim O'Brien was to the team, that in 1973, he was honoured with an All-Star Award. Now, he also won a National League medal with Limerick in 1970-71. But, you know, Jim O'Brien's career as a stellar career was marked out from a very young age. He was part of the Limerick team that won the Munster Minor Championship in 1963, in the days when we weren't winning Munster Minor Championships as regularly as we're probably winning them now. And they went on that year to be beaten in the All-Ireland Final by a Tony Dorn-inspired Wexford in probably one of the highest-scoring finals of all time. It was sad for Limerick to be coming out of Croke Park that day having scored 5-9. And being on the losing side, it wouldn't happen very often these days. But Jim O'Brien, he gave so much to Limerick over a decade, and he gave so much to Brewery for two decades. If there was one missing piece of silverware or one honour that he didn't get, that he richly deserved, and that was a county senior medal with Brewery. And but having said that, his family gave such a contribution to Brewery when they won the Limerick Senior Hurling Championship in 2006, when three of his sons, John, Gerard and James Vincent, were part of that historic Brewery team. Jim O'Brien has very, very few peers. He has very, very few equals as a player and as a man, and as somebody dedicated to the GAA, to which he dedicated his life. And it's a very, very sad time that we should today be acknowledging his passing, and we extend our deepest sympathy to his wife Anne, his daughter, and his sons, who are continuing in the great tradition of the family, with their involvement in the GAA and doing so as Jim O'Brien would have liked.
Yeah, and all of us for Limerick could like to extend our deepest condolences to each member of the family, and the legacy lives on, as you said, through each of his children. I suppose we'll go on to the football action. We had an eventful round one, obviously some games fell foul, but looking at this weekend, we should have a full round of fixtures. There should be 16 games in total. So group two of the Senior Football Championship is the first game on tonight. You have the meeting of Father Casey's and the Pearshig in McNeville Park at 7:30. It'll be a game that's on Limerick GAA TV. You will be on co-commentaries with John Keogh. Obviously, Casey's are coming in cold, but they face the Pearshig team that got a bad beating last week against the Dare. So is it as straightforward as that, Casey's getting the win and knocking out the Pearshig, or how do you see it going?
Well, based on last week's results, that's how it would appear, Jack. But you know things don't work out like that. Father Casey's, as you say, are coming in cold. We don't know from year to year what to expect from Father Casey's, and Father Casey's always seem to confuse me insofar as it's a very hazardous business to predict what kind of a Father Casey side will come out, because they have been so successful at underage level, And you just wonder that is the day going to come when they will finally find the formula to make the transition from minor to senior? And like they face an Napiershick side this evening. Napiershick, how much of value is the game under their belts, Tom? On the basis of the scoreline last week, you would have to say very little. But I suppose probing behind it, particularly in the first half, in that game against the Dale, they conceded a goal very, very early on in the first couple of minutes and had clawed their way right back into the game when they were hit with another goal. And, of course, I suppose, in fairness, they were up against one of the teams that are certainly going to be involved in the shake-up. Like, it was no accident, like, that, you know, in the semi-final last year, that Adair were, when they were dethroned, that they were going for three in a row. They're a very, very good young side. And we flagged it last week that Adair were a young side that broke through 3 years ago. And now they're still a young side, but now they have added that experience and mental strength. So if you feed all of that into it, perhaps you can understand why Napiershick went down the way they did. But it's a huge game for them. If they're to have ambitions of staying in the football championship, this is a classical must-win game, Jack. Anything other than a win, and they're gone. A second defeat, and they're gone. That's because of the configuration of the tables at the moment. So I'm going for Father Casey's on this one.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Father Casey's are certainly favourites. But I must mention the Napiershick as a dual club in a truncated season. Like, it's not easy. But we'll see tonight now who comes out on top in that one. Then tomorrow, you have two games. The first one, Group 3, Mona Lean versus St. Kieran's. I suppose St. Kieran's lost last weekend to Galway was probably the biggest shock of the round. And they come in against a Mona Lean side that have appeared in two in a row in the Premier and 21 finals. They haven't won them, but a winner is in 2016. It looks a daunting task for St. Kieran's without Sean McSweeney and Darragh Tracy once again.
Yeah, well, Darragh Tracy is back in the country. Whether he will be available to play on tomorrow or not is another question because of quarantine regulations and what have you. But certainly, we saw the two sides of St. Kieran's last week. I was out at that game. Like, St. Kieran's, they just had no answer to Galway in the first half. Now, Galway ticked an awful lot of boxes in the first half. But in the second half, St. Kieran's sort of sensing like their championship hopes might be on the line here. You know, they upped their game completely. They were reduced to 14 players 2 minutes into the second half. And we've seen it sometimes in the past. We've seen it very often in the past, actually. When you go down to 14 players, it has a galvanizing effect on the 14 that are left. And by God, did it have it in St. Kieran's. Like, they came back to within 2 points. Like, they were down something like 8 or 9 points at halftime. 2-5, I think, to 2 points.
And 4-2.
They restricted Galway to 4 points in the second half. Like, you know, and you know, there was one particular point, I think, that defined the game. When Noel Callanan got in on the right, and he hit a thunderbolt of a shot, which was brilliantly deflected over by Joe Ryan. And I think that was a turning point, because had St. Kieran's got a goal at that stage, we could be talking about a different result. And that is not to detract in the slightest from the Galway performance, but it was a stunning save, and it was a match-winning save. But what St. Kieran's will have to do to pick it up, the type of performance that we saw from St. Kieran's in the first half isn't good enough. The type of performance that we saw in the second half is, but that has to be maintained for 60 minutes. Anything less, and they're facing into a Mona Lean side. And we referenced it last week, that a Mona Lean side that are in a unique position in that they're playing in the senior and intermediate championships. And that will tell you the depth of the panel of players that they have at their disposal. Now, the intermediate team got a bit of a, a bit of a hammering last week. But nevertheless, Maurice Gavin and his management team at Mona Lean will have Mona Lean prime for this. And they will know the importance of getting a win against St. Kieran's, because for Mona Lean, a win means that they get a quarterfinal place. It's as simple as that. And they condemn St. Kieran's to the relegation playoffs. This is going to be a very, very tight one. It's going to be very, very hard to call. Like, there are so many good footballers on both sides. The caveat with Kieran's, they've got to put it in for 60 minutes. It's very close to call, but I have a feeling that St. Kieran's, from what we saw last year and from what we saw in the second half, like, their need on Saturday is the greater, and I think that might score them to victory.
Yeah, you'd be a brave man to bet against St. Kieran's in a game like this, but I'm gonna go for Mona Lean. I feel like they've been building for a few years and they're due a big result. Again, we'll see tomorrow evening. After that, in Kilbreedy at 6 o'clock, you have the meeting of Ballylanders and Gaelic Gales. Gaelic Gales obviously returned to the senior ranks last weekend with a loss to Oula. I was there now in hospital, and Gaelic Gales did not deserve to lose by 7 points. They kind of went searching for a goal towards the end, and where they could have taken a few scores. Bit of naivety, but that's to expect on the return. They play Ballylanders side, who you know quite well. On the surface, you'd say it's going to be Ballylanders win, but in a derby like this, I don't know.
It's a derby, and as you know, the old cliche, derby form goes out the window, and if ever form goes out the window, it probably goes out in this one. Like, this is a huge one for both sides. They're very, very close neighbours, and they both have links with Glenroe Hurlers, so you'll have Glenroe Hurlers playing against each other, which is a unique position in this one. Gaelic Gales, I just saw the game back. I wasn't at it. I would agree with your analysis there that they probably didn't deserve to lose by 7 points. And the one worry I would have was that they got a very, very, very good start. They were racked up 4 points, which, you know, going up a grade and your first game out, getting that kind of start, it's something that you just dream of. But unfortunately for the Gales, I suppose maybe a lack of experience at this level, they weren't able to build on it. Now, Ballylanders are coming in. They're coming in fresh. We must remember, from a Ballylanders point of view, that it's only 2 years since they contested the county senior football final in 2018, when they lost to Adair. And the nucleus of that team are still around, though for some of them, they're 2 years older. And as the notches go up, you know, 2 years makes a big, big difference. Niall Fitzgerald, a former Tipperary player and Mile Rovers, has come in as manager. I have no doubt he will have Ballylanders well primed for this. If they're not focused for a game against Gaelic Gales, they'll be focused. They won't be focused for a game against anybody. And the same goes for the Gales. Like, on paper, it looks like Ballylanders. But, like, games are not won on paper. They're won on football fields. I think this one is going to be very, very close. Very, very close. Because the Gaelic Gales, their backs are to the wall if they're to survive in the championship. Now, they've been hit a blow before the championship kicked off at all with the loss of Morris O'Sullivan, who was outstanding at fullback last year, and Sean Casey, a very, very accomplished forward who's in Australia at the moment. So, but having said that, I think that this one is going to be very, very tight. It'll be no place for the faint-hearted, even though the people won't be allowed in. on Saturday evening. I'm going for Ballon d'Ors, but just.
Yeah, I like your sentiment that it's going to be tight. And in my previewed weekend's games, I can't see anything other than a draw, which will bring it right down to the wire. Again, we'll see. And on Sunday, rounding off proceedings, you have, of course, Ballysteen will enter the championship against Drum Broadford. Drum were on the wrong side of a loss to Newcastle, a heavy loss that we were both at last week in Rackheel. In biblical-like conditions, obviously you don't want to judge a team too much playing against Newcastle, but it doesn't bode well for Drum Broadford against the Ballysteen side, who pushed Newcastle all the way last year in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. You know, looking back and reflecting on that game, Jack, the one thing that Drum Broadford have in abundance and had in abundance during the glory days on the field was patience. There's patience of a different kind called for in Drum now, and I think it's patience with the youngsters that Mike Fahey unleashed. He unleashed six of last year's successful under-21B football team, five in the forwards. Now, in the early stages, and you will recall, Jack, they were far from overawed, but once Newcastle West got into their stride, once Ian Corbett got into his stride and started influencing and started dictating, I suppose it was ominous for Bradford, and I suppose the result in the end was inevitable. Now it could have been a slightly larger winning margin, because you will recall at one period in the second half, Newcastle West got four, I think, gilt edge chances one after another and misfired on all four. And from a Newcastle West point of view, I suppose they will be disappointed with it, but it certainly will give their management team something to work on before they face your own Ballysteen the weekend or the coming weekend. Now, Ballysteen, the trick for Ballysteen here this year, I think, is to pick up on the form that they showed last year. And the form that they showed, first of all, in qualifying for the knockout stages, and you will recall in the quarter-final, they were distinctly unlucky to go out to Newcastle West. So if Ballysteen can pick up on that. Now, there's a subplot to all this. And the subplot being that Ballysteen have never beaten Drum Broadford in the county championship. So that is a very, very interesting statistic. So how much that will play into it on Sunday, I suspect very, very, very little. I'm going for Ballysteen on this one. But, you know, there are a couple of very exciting young players coming through in Drum Broadford. We look at the like of James Mulner. We look at the like of Brian Ahern, Graham Roach, good players. And a thing I did like about Drum Broadford last Sunday evening was the way the big men stood up. The men that you know, there's only a limited number on the current Drum team that have experience. And like the Garrett Noonans and the Killian Fahey, who was outstanding, I thought, throughout. And Derry McCarthy, like, you know, the way they led from the front. What Drum Broadford need is patience. And I have a feeling that they're going to lose this one as well, and that they will be into a survival battle. It's crucial for Drum Broadford that they survive.
Yeah, look, I'm going to agree with you on that one. I feel like Ballysteen have the win, and there's no bias in that. But after seeing Drum last week, and kind of when Newcastle got on top, they kind of ran over them. The longer Drum can stay in this game, or the longer they can stay ahead, or however it goes, the more they'll get confidence. But if Ballysteen can get a good start, it's hard to see past them getting the win and getting a knockout stage. Bear in mind, any of the teams playing their first game this weekend, the senior championship, a win for them will see them through. That has to be remembered. In the intermediate championship, we had a game last night, Rackheel versus Mountcollins. Rackheel won 114-105. It was the first game in the group after last weekend's fixtures fell foul. Obviously, Cahan are involved in that group, and they had suspended play. By all accounts, Rackheel were just much the stronger team, and it was to be expected, really, that result, that 9-point victory.
Yeah, well, I don't know so much about the margin of victory, but certainly I think a Red Keel victory was nailed on this one, because I have a sense that last year that Red Keel, they really, really got caught in the quarterfinal stage by Gerald Griffins, by that late flurry. 10 minutes to go in the quarterfinal, 6 points up. And Gerald Griffins pick up 7 points and win the game by one. So, like, they were coming with a mission. And, Mount Collins, we have seen them in recent years, Jack. They have been struggling. And they struggled from the off last night, because at halftime it was 8 points to one. And as you rightly said, that Brett Keel went on and won at 114 to 105. Now, Mount Collins have a very, very quick turnaround. They're involved again, I think, on Tuesday night. I think they take on Cahan in the third, first round game. So I know it's not an ideal situation whereby that a club could be literally see their championship hopes go down the river, you know, in 6 days. But that's what it is. And one doesn't know, of course, what from year to year, what sort of a team Cahan will have. But in recent years, if are anything to go by, they have been strong and they have been there or thereabouts. You must remember they came through the group stages last year unbeaten. So, like, it's not going to get any easier for Mount Collins. And I feel that they could be in line to suffer a second defeat in a row.
Yeah, and it looks like that Mount Collins season could be over in the space of 4 or 5 days, which is an awful pity for a team that they don't actually get a full proper chance to recover. That's just the way this truncated championship is.
I suppose, you know, it's the victim of the pandemic, Jack, because in normal circumstances they would be getting their 5 games, and I suppose we've got to live with it. Some of us have got to live with it. I think more people don't seem to have to live with it, but as we saw in the news breaking overnight, but It is tough, but like circumstances have brought this about, and they will need a huge performance to pick up from that defeat to Red Keel if they're to get by Cahan on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and another group that is going to run off very quickly is Group 2 with Gerald Griffins versus Pellis Green down for decision tomorrow night in Adair. Obviously, there was no games in that group last weekend either. There's going to be Gerald Griffins Pellis Green tomorrow. Gerald Griffins play midweek, and then it's the final game next weekend. St. Patrick's, they play in Wednesday, and then it's going to be Pats and Pellis Green. Another group that's going to be run off in 7 days with all three teams involved, and that's fixture congestion. So it's going to be vital whoever gets the win tomorrow. You'd fancy Gerald Griffins after what was so close to being the perfect year in 2019.
Yeah, I go along with you on that one, Jack. I fancy Gerald Griffins. I think they showed us enough last year, and there's no reason to believe that they will not carry over that type of form. No, you know, there's a banana skin here, and there's no greater banana skin when you're going out playing a football match than when it is against Pellis Green. Because Pellis Green can rise to the occasion, and they're tough customers when it comes to football. Now, it's only 2 years ago or 3 years ago that they won a county under 21 one championship, defeat Galty Gales in the final. I think it was in the A final, and so like that, there's a core of very good footballers over there. Larkin Dwyer is an experienced former inter-county man. They have Brian Fanning on board. Colin Ryan is no mean footballer. So, like, Pellis Green will be tough, but I expect that Gerald Griffins. Now, Pellis Green, of course, they're trying to marry being involved in the Intermediate Hurling Championship, where they're looking for an immediate return to Premier status, which they lost last year, and the Intermediate Football Championship. But having said all that, I think Pellis Green will be tough, but I think that Gerald Griffins should have enough. to get off to a winning start.
Yeah, and looking through that Gerard Griffin team, the players they have at their disposal, Tommy Griffin, Gerard Stack, Jim Liston, like the names are off the tongue. They're all represented Limerick in recent times.
And McSweeney, you know, they look to have the players that are capable of delivering an opening round win, you know.
Yeah, and but again, they'll be out again at Wednesday, so the victory is vital. In Group 3, you've the meeting of Brough versus Glynn and Finan on Saturday at 6 o'clock. Glynn were obviously on the receiving end of a 13-point loss to St. Finan's last week. Glynn kind of stayed with him for a share of it, and then James Acton's goal in the first half kind of pulled the St. Finan's away, and Ian Ryan kind of finished off the job. They'll have a tough battle against Brough. You would imagine it would be closer, but you would probably be edging towards Brough, who are probably a bit more experienced at this level in recent years.
Yeah, but if you look at the record of both of them, Jack, both of them have been one of struggle at this level for the last couple of years. Now, all right, Glenn got into the quarter final there, was it 2 years ago? Through a playoff system when three clubs finished on level points, and there had been a walkover during the competition, so they had to go into a three-way playoff. But they came out of that, but then came up short to Galway in the county quarter final. Now these clubs have met a number of times in the past, and there has been very, very little between them. Brough to me, and I should know, are a bit of an unknown quantity. I haven't seen him this year. We haven't seen it. Well, of course, that's par for the course this year. But like others, there's a core of very, very good footballers in Brough. But an awful lot of those footballers cross over with the hurling team, who are now in the county premier intermediate semi-final. And how much that will feed into it, how much Brough will have done, because their concentration for the first couple of weeks of the season back had to be on hurling and getting out of what was an all-south group. And of course, you must remember that the intermediate championship, the Premier Intermediate Championship, was slightly longer than the other groups in that clubs had to play three games in 3 weeks. And so the focus will be on football. Now, Glenn will have the benefit of a game under their belts. Glenn's need, I think, in this one is the greater of the two, in that they cannot afford to lose again. I've a hunch that Glenn might win this one. And I would be on the same page as you on it.
Look, it's going to come down to it on Saturday evening. Obviously, Brough would be delighted to got that week off after 3 weeks in a row. I just think that 3 weeks playing and a week off, they'll be fresh, but they'll have games played. Obviously, one of us is going to be proven right and the other will be proven wrong, but we'll have to wait and see. On Sunday then, the Intermediate Football Championship fixtures round off with the meeting of Kilina Pallets Kinnery and Mona Lean, obviously their second team, at 1 o'clock in Mungers. Mona Lean lost to Mungers last weekend, 4-9-5. You'd imagine Mungers are safe now and through. Kilina Pallets will be looking to put the final nail in Mona Lean's coffin to see them in the relegation playoff. But again, Mona Lean had that advantage of actually playing a game, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's the Junior A champions of 2018 against the Junior A champions of 2019. That in itself is significant. Kildare Pallets Kinnery, they struggled last year to find their feet in this competition. And we've already mentioned about Brough trying to marry playing this intermediate football and Premier Intermediate Hurling. Kildare Pallets Kinnery are doing the same. And coincidentally, Kildare Pallets Kinnery and Brough will be meeting in the semi-final of that in early September. And Mona Lean will play a senior game in the meantime now, and there is a possibility that some of those intermediate players may be lost, may be promoted, and that would further, I suppose, it would weaken their squad a bit. Now, it may not happen. They may have two defined squads. But one way or the other, it's going to be very, very difficult for Mona Lee to pick it up. I have a feeling that Kildymo Palace Kenry will win this one. You have guys in Kildymo Palace Kenry like you've countrymen, county footballers in Kildymo Palace Kenry. You have Tony McCarthy, you have Peter Nash, you have John Chalk, all members, all currently members of Billy Lee's senior football team. And that in itself will provide a bit of inspiration. And they should spearhead an all-out drive for a win in the first round. And it's the second round, but the first round for them. And, like, you know, the prize at stake is one well worth chasing for Kildymo Palace Kenry, because were they to beat Mona Lee, it's a place in the knockout stages of the competition. I'm going for Kildymo Palace Kenry, Jack.
Yeah, I agree with you there now again, Matt. I saw Kildymo Palace actually play a challenge game maybe only a week ago. And as you mentioned, the big boys kind of stood up, but they have a fine team around them. A share of the hurlers play, and they look quite strong. And from what I could see, they'll be thereabouts at the end of this competition. That round's intermediate championship. Obviously, junior A championship, there's another round of games this weekend. The round one winners are Castlemahan in Group 1, Monaghan, Ballybrown in Group 2, Kiltealy in Group 3, Newcastle West, and Athay in Group 4, and Father Casey's drew with Drum. There was a worrying trend in some of those games, Matt, and you touched on it last week, and we'll talk about it now. There was an awful lot of heavy margins of losses, and a couple where second teams beat first teams very comprehensively.
Yeah, I have to say, like, that when I was looking at the results on Sunday evening of the weekend, it hit straight out at me, some of the one-sided results in the junior A first round. And I suppose any worries were compounded when we saw the result of a delayed game on Tuesday night when Castlemahan ran right against them, against South Liberties, 5-21-1-7. Some results really stick out to me, and one result that really gave me cause for alarm was Newcastle West 2-20, Hospital Herbertstown 1-2. Now, this was effectively a second team against the first team. Now, we've talked in the past time and time again about the strength of the panel that's available and the pool of players that's available to Newcastle West. Notwithstanding that, and notwithstanding those that are already designated as senior players, this is a very, very worrying result for a club like Hospital Herbertstown, who it was their first team. And you had a similar situation between Athay and Brewery. Now, they were both first teams. But it gives you a sense of how much... It's not too long ago since Brewery represented Limerick in the Munster Clubs Championship. So that will give you a sense of the fall from grace of Brewery as a football force. They were beaten something like 21 points to 1-2. Then you had a huge win for Kiltealy Drumkeen over Drum Broadford. Like four results in seven games, like it's very, very alarming, Jack. Let's hope we'll have better contests this week. Let's hope that the clubs that suffered those defeats will pick it up this year, this week. Now, you'd have to commend the county board for the structure of the championship. The structure insofar as that the plan at the end of this year is to relegate the bottom side in each group. I think based on those results, that decision has been vindicated. Like, it's obvious that they're going to reduce the junior A football championship to a 12-team competition and two groups of six. And I think that decision to do so is more than justified if you go on those first round results, like, because on results alone, there were clubs playing in the junior A football championship last weekend that in all honesty should be playing European football. Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah, it looks to be the right decision to change the format and reduce the teams. But after one round, and a lot of ring rust, as it has been a lot of time since a lot of these players play football, but given the benefit of the doubt, they have this weekend to prove us wrong. And please God, there is going to be better and closer games. Obviously, during the week, we had the final game, under-21s hurling, the premier under-21 hurling final team, Doon and Patrickswell. In the end, at the very end, Doon made a 2 in a row with an 18-70 win over Patrickswell. But it was a cracking game of hurling in the Gaelic grounds.
What a game, Jack. Full credit to both teams for the performance they put on. They were a credit to themselves. They were a credit to the game of hurling, and they were a credit to Limerick. And those of us that were lucky to see the game, like it showcased all that is good in Limerick hurling, and it showcased, I suppose, all the good work that's been done at underage level through the academies and through the hard work of the volunteers in the various clubs at underage level around the county. It was a classic game, 18 points to 17. And, you know, it was a game full of intensity, full of excitement, full of some fine scores. Now, all right, there was a small bit of a shootout in terms of frees between Jason Gillan and Jack Ryan. But having said that, there were some very, very, very good scores notched up on Wednesday night. Like Patrickswell, in many ways, I suppose, Jack, came from nowhere. I think Kieran Carey actually mentioned it in commentary, like that at the outset of the competition, their name at all didn't feature as potential champions, and by God, did they come close to it. But I suppose very few people will begrudge it to Doon, like having lost 4 finals in a row. They turned it around last year, again against the odds, I suppose, against the Pearshead, and made it back-to-back victories this time. And I think they're really, really, they will be very happy with it. And on the balance of play, I suppose they just about deserve to share it. But it was one of those games where most of you would say it has to be unfortunate that there was a loser. But a loser there was. But in defeat, Gaming Gillan and his Patrickswell Chargers, they covered themselves in glory, in my view. They put up a great fight. They were ranked outsiders. And, you know, they put up a great fight with playing hurling as it should be played.
Yeah, and it was played exactly how it should be played. It was kind of interesting to note that the Patrickswell are looking for a first title in 23 years. Doon obviously made a 2 in a row. But a huge credit must go to Doon. 6 consecutive final appearances. They lost the first 4. Have kept coming, and now they're deservedly back-to-back champions that grade after so much loss in the short space of time.
That's what I'm saying. Very few people would begrudge it to them, like, because the amount of work that has been done at underage level, year in, year out, in Doon, like, is an example for us all. Now, there are other clubs like the Pearshead and Patrickswell, Mumbrough, Ballybrown, maybe to that would be to the 4 in the promotion of the game at underage level. But Doon have been consistently promoting the game of hurling and not just promoting the game of hurling, but inculcating into their young players good values of the GAA and how hurling should be played. Like all Doon teams, you know, they're easy on the eye. They're nice to watch. They play good hurling. And like the other evening was no exception.
No, and it wasn't any exception. And it continues a theme of excellent hurling games in that championship after such a long break. And it's a credit to them players to not only keep up the fitness, but to keep up the skill levels, which are great to see. And obviously we saw a few.
I suppose Jack, not cutting across you, but the Premier under 21 hurling championship and the Premier intermediate hurling championship, in terms of good games and in terms of excitement, they're the marquee competitions in Limerick, because they over the last number of years, they have showcased all that is best in Limerick hurling, and exciting close games down to the wire, going to replays, all that sort of thing. They are two fantastic competitions, and two competitions that are very, very well structured. Compliment the county board for sticking with the under 21 championship and getting it finished. Like, we have four under 21 champions now. We have Doon, who are the Premier A champion. Are the Premier champions. You have Adair, who are the A champions. You have Cushnie Gales, the B champions, and Cracora Bannister, the 12-a-side champions. They have silverware for what is a very challenging year for us all. And it's great to see it. And well done for them to pick it up straight when the regulations allowed it, and the under 21 championship this year had a very, very fitting finale in that it had a game worthy of the competition, and full marks, full credit to Doon and Patrick's Well.
Yeah, and as you say, in kind of uncertain times again around the country, it is great that we actually have four champions already in the 21s hurling, and please God, we'll have another full round of football fixtures this weekend without any disruptions. Once again, my thanks to you, Matt, for joining me, and I'm sure we'll be back next week to go through all the games this weekend.